Well, we've been in this series called Guilt Trip. And we have been talking about guilt and shame and all of those kinds of things that come along with it. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the shame game, right? But today we're going to continue to keep it real. And because that's the only way I know how to do it, we're going to keep it real. And I'm going to ask you some really honest and vulnerable questions that every parent has wrestled with at some point. And if you're not a parent and you're going to be a parent, you will wrestle with them at some point. So you ready? We're going to be talking about parent guilt. Oh, yeah. Here it is. This message is, okay, but I gotta just be upfront to say this. This message is not me just preaching to you, okay? Your pastor is preaching, if he's preaching to anybody, he's preaching to me. And it is one of those things. I am just like every other parent out there, contrary to any belief or popular belief or whatever, I struggle with self-doubt. I struggle with guilt on decisions and parenting and things like that. I wrestle with second-guessing my decisions as a parent, all those things. And so if it feels like I'm preaching to anyone today, just know that I'm preaching to me first. Deal? All right, let's get honest. You ready? I got some questions for you, and I if you agree, I want you to raise your hand. How many of you have ever felt guilty in your role as a parent? Raise your hand. Okay. Who's ever felt like they're not doing enough as a mom or a dad? If you're not raising your hand, parents, I think you're lying to me, or you're being chicken. Have you ever, this one's kind of funny, but have you ever felt guilty for leaving your child to go to work, even though you had no choice? Have you ever blamed yourself for your child's faults, issues, or mistakes as if being a better parent could have prevented where they are now? Continuing in our honesty, have you ever just not wanted to spend time with your kids and then felt ashamed for even thinking that way? All right. Single parents, I don't want you left out. Single parents, have you ever felt like no matter what you do, you're letting somebody down? Sometimes it just feels like I just can't win, right? Can I get a big amen for that one? But here's the thing. Because when we start staring at our failures and our weaknesses, and when we start rehearsing the moments that we get wrong or have gotten wrong, that's when shame creeps in, right? That's when shame creeps in. And I want to remind you today that there is hope, beyond, like we talked about 2 weeks ago, there's hope beyond shame, right? God is not done writing your family story. Amen. That is exciting. But I want to be clear. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. First week of this series, we identified guilt, right? Two forms of guilt. Anybody remember what they were? Shame. Nope. Shame is a product of guilt. But there's the good guilt, if that's even possible, but it is. God created guilt, right? That's when you have done something wrong and you feel guilty for doing it, okay? And that kind of guilt leads you to repentance. It leads you back to the Lord. And then there's false guilt. That's the guilt that we feel when we haven't done anything wrong and we still feel guilty for it, right? That's condemnation. That's from the enemy. That is not from God. You picking up what I'm throwing down? So I want to be clear about something. False guilt has one mission: to make you feel less than, to make you feel condemned and worthless. That's its only mission, right? And we beat ourselves up when our kids make a mistake or they fail a class or they get in trouble or they start a fight or rebel against God or choose a path completely opposite from how they were raised, right? This message is for every parent. Whether you've walked through this already and you've got grown kids, or you're just beginning the journey. Even if you don't have kids yet, take notes, because when that happens, this is wisdom that you can apply in your life. You picking up what I'm throwing down? If you are, say uh-huh. We overblame, we overcriticize, and we carry guilt for our children's choices. Choices that ultimately belong to them. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And as you're turning here, we will have it on the screen, but if you've got your Bibles, open it up. Don't just rely on what I put up there. Get in your Bible. This is one that you should highlight, underline, circle, right? This is a big deal. And this is what it says. There's a few of you still turning. I'll give you a second while I drink a little sip of water. Here's what it says. It says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. We've all heard that scripture, right? I grew up believing and was taught that that scripture is the formula for parenting. Can I just tell you? That's not the formula for parenting. That's the foundation of parenting. Not the formula, the foundation, right? It is, this verse means that we don't parent accidentally, right? We are intentional. We lead with purpose. We set the tone. We lay the track. We point them to Jesus early, because what's rooted in childhood will most likely become, shape a lifetime, right? But here's the thing, listen to me, parents. It does not guarantee, that scripture does not guarantee that your kids will love Jesus their whole life just because you took them to church and to Sunday school and to kids' church and those kinds of things. It does not mean that. It does not guarantee that they won't wander or stray. But it does promise that the foundation we lay will last. Hear me. It will last, right? It is a godly, biblical foundation. Even if they wander, what's rooted in them early has the power to draw them back. I am a living, standing, breathing testimony of that. I grew up in church. My family, my dad made us go to church every time the stinking doors were open. Kicking, screaming, dragging. I think I teethed on the back of a wooden pew early on. I grew up in church, and I ran and I wandered. I didn't just wander, I ran. But my parents laid the foundation that drew me back. Picking up what I'm throwing down? So parenting is a long game, and God honors the seeds that we sow in faith. So let's go back to the beginning, and let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, but if you're going to flip with your Bibles, go ahead. I'll give you a second. We'll have it on the screen too. But we're going back to the beginning. And it says this. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him. Underline this, highlight this. You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are surely to die. Sure to die. Okay, now bounce over to chapter 3 of Genesis, verses 4 through 6. We were here 2 weeks ago, both of these. And this one says this, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Now, as I was studying that passage of scripture, the Holy Spirit started revealing something to me. It was an aha moment in my life. And I want you to not miss this. I want you to get this, right? Let me ask this question. Who was Adam and Eve's father? God, right? God was the perfect Father. Can we agree to that? He was the perfect Father, yet his children still sinned. Still sinned. They disobeyed. Even in paradise, they had one stinking rule. You can eat from any fruit of these trees except for that one. Perfect Father. And they still sinned. They disobeyed even in paradise, and yet we blame ourselves when our kids steal a candy bar in the checkout line. We take it personally when they fall. But here's something we have to grab a hold of. We as parents are called to lead, not to carry the burden of their free will and their choices. Boom shakalaka. What? We are not called to carry that burden, but we play the blame game. If you're taking notes, number one, God did not take responsibility for his children's choices. He didn't sit up in heaven wringing his hands going, OMS, OMS, OMS. Oh, myself. Where did I go wrong? Where did I go wrong? You won't find a single scripture in this Bible that says that. Nope, not one. God did not take responsibility for Adam and Eve's rebellion. So why do we carry guilt and shame for the choices of others? Parents, hear my heart. The Lord is teaching me this right now, that you can raise them right. You can teach them, you can pray over them, love them deeply and guide them faithfully, but you cannot choose for them. Even in the perfection of Eden, with God as their father, Adam and Eve still chose to disobey. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 6 reminds us that the serpent deceived them, and then they made the choice. Not because of lack of love, not because of lack of truth or guidance, but because God gave them a gift of free will. Right? Free will. And in the same way, we are called as parents to be faithful, not controlling. Their choices are theirs. Our responsibility is to love them well, to set a foundation in God's word and teaching them, and then to trust God with the rest. That's our responsibility. But you and I cannot choose for them. Even God, the perfect Father, gave his children free will. And he didn't blame himself when they used it poorly. So let's stop playing the blame game, can we? Let's surrender the weight that was never ours to carry. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, notice what God didn't do. Look at it. He did not blame anybody else, right? He didn't turn to the Holy Spirit and say, hey, pal, where were you? Why didn't you do something? He didn't do that. He didn't even blame Adam and Eve. He didn't assign fault to anyone else, not even the serpent. Read the scripture. God didn't deflect. He didn't make excuses. He addresses the ones responsible, his children. God held them accountable for their choices. Let that sink in for a minute. Because I know, I thought about this and I've wrestled with this. This is contrary to everything that we have ever been taught or think we've been taught in life about our kids, about parents and parenting, right? If the perfect Father, the creator of the universe, didn't blame others for his children's disobedience, then why do we carry that crushing weight of blame for our kids' decisions? God's response teaches us this truth, that you can be the best parent on the planet. You could be voted the best parent of the year 14 years in a row. right? You can be voted that and still have your children make bad choices. And here's the thing I need you to hear me. That doesn't make you a failure. It makes you human, right? Makes you human. Now, that being said, let me share this. That doesn't mean that you as a parent can just phone it in. You have a responsibility to lay a godly foundation, to love, to nurture, to build them up and give them what they need, then trust that God is going to take it from there, right? We don't get to phone it in. We don't get to do that stuff. We get to do our part, right? But it doesn't make you a failure. It makes you human. And God didn't question his parenting skills, right? God didn't say, where did I go wrong? I wasn't there for them. It's my fault. I should have stepped in and done more. Maybe I didn't provide enough or love them well enough. No. God didn't spiral into self-doubt and shame. He didn't second-guess his love, his presence, or his parenting. But how many of us do that very thing? My hand is up. We beat ourselves up over things we didn't do, imagining that if we could have somehow prevented our children's mistake, as if perfect parenting guarantees perfect children. That's a lie. Even the perfect love, perfect presence, and perfect instruction from the Heavenly Father, Adam and Eve still chose rebellion. If God didn't question himself when his children disobeyed, then maybe, just maybe, we should stop questioning ourselves too. God did not even intervene and try to stop them. He allowed them to fall. No sirens blaring, no lights going, spotlights on them going, I see you, stop! None of that, right? So I'm going to call this out a little bit. I'm calling some of us out. Some of us have fallen into the trap of being helicopter parents. Ooh, here we go. Hovering over our kids, trying to shield them from every bump, bruise, and failure. But here's the truth that I am currently learning personally. The goal of parenting is not to raise perfect kids. That was never the assignment. So here's what I want you to do. Turn to your neighbor and say this out loud. Your kids are going to make a mistake. Turn. Do it. So why do we carry so much guilt when they do? Come on. Why do we act like every misstep is a reflection of our failure? Parents, let this sink in. Your child's mistakes don't disqualify your parenting. They create the opportunity for grace, growth, and learning. Let's be honest. Sometimes we're more focused on protecting our image as parents than actually protecting our kids. It becomes less about what's best for them and more about what others will think about us. Guilty as charged. Because here's the reality about pastors' kids. They're still kids. And if you have this misconception of pastors' kids got to be perfect, get that out of your head. Because they will fail you just like your own kids will. My kids are not perfect. My kids are kids. From 23 to 8. Well, 23 is an adult, but still, my kid. You ever see how some parents treat their kids' lives like a Hot Wheels track? What I mean, if they've got rails laid down on every inch, every decision, every step, every snack, every social event, guarding and guiding. They try to keep their kids from every mistake, every bump, and every wrong turn. And I get this because that's me. I've been there, and I tried so hard to keep my boys from making the same stupid mistakes that I made. so they wouldn't have to deal with the same horrible consequences that I had to walk through. But that's not the purpose of guardrails, right? Guardrails aren't meant to line the whole road. Could you imagine guardrails on every road that we, it'd be like bumper pool. That's not what guardrails are meant for. They're meant for the danger zones, the sharp curves, the drop-offs, and places where a crash could be devastating. If we guard every step our children make, we rob them of the chance to develop wisdom, responsibility, and spiritual maturity. We rob them. There is an entire generation of our kids that have no idea what real life means. They have no idea because parents have robbed them of that. They don't learn to make decisions. They learn to follow directions. And then one day when they're on their own, they're left unprepared to navigate life without any of our constant guidance. Our role as parents isn't to control every move they make. It's to guide them with love, to set guardrails in dangerous places where it truly matters, and then give them space to grow. We're not raising robots. We're raising people who need to learn how to walk with God for themselves. So let's give them freedom to grow and the wisdom to know when to ask for help. But here's the hard truth. Here's the hard truth. Because if we don't do this, they'll never fear the ditch. Right? If they're never allowed to experience it, they'll never fear it. Pain teaches. Failure grows. And grace, praise Jesus, redeems. Think about the grooves on the side of the road, the rumble strips, right? The rumble strips that everybody loves when you drift too far off on the road. They don't stop the car, do they? Nope. But they do warn you. Flat out warn you. That's what wise parenting looks like. Guiding, not gripping. Great parenting isn't about preventing every mistake. It's about preparing kids to grow through them. Because real growth, as we all know as adults, often happens through struggle, right? We don't grow when everything's unicorns and rainbows. We grow in the hard times, the times of adversity and struggle and pain. That's when we grow. But yet we try to protect our kids from that. And we're raising up wimpy adults that can't think or make decisions on their own. They can't handle when things are tough, right? And as our kids get older, they need more liberty, not less. The boundaries should widen as their maturity grows. And that comes with wisdom from us as parents. Let's be real, right? We're not going to be foolish and just say, hey, here's a gun, go out and play, without teaching them gun safety. And even when we do teach them gun safety, and their mom lets them go out with a BB gun on the farm, and dad has a new project called replacing windows in a garage because they wanted to see what it would do. Right? I told you, we're living through this. Oh, so many things we're learning. The boundaries should widen as their maturity grows, not tighten. Otherwise, they never learn to stand on their own. God allowed the consequences of their decisions to happen. Adam and Eve did not escape the cost of their choices. They died spiritually, right? And still to this day, man toils in his work and women have pain in childbirth. That was the punishment. Woohoo! God did not chase after them in the garden to rescue them. How many of us are guilty of rescuing our kids? We start young too, don't we? The most powerful gift, hear this, the most powerful gift God gave humanity is free will. It's free will. Otherwise, we would be robots. We have the freedom to choose. The first words to Adam was this. We go back to Genesis. Where was the first one? He said in chapter 2. The Lord placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it, but the Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat from any tree in the garden except one." He gave him freedom, right? Freedom of choice. He only had one choice, and he screwed it up. Freedom to choose between good and evil. God himself will not override free will. Yet as parents, we believe that we can and should. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17, "Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teachings come from God or whether I speak on my own." And Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." Now here's the thing. Number six, God acknowledged their sin as their sin. It was their decision in their own free will. They still chose to sin and disobey the Father. Nobody else's fault or blame. The more, as parents, that we take on the responsibility that isn't ours, the more painful and difficult the prodigal journey becomes for us and for our child. Hear me, mom and dad. The choices and decisions that your son or daughter is making are not your fault. Free will. It is not a reflection on you, your parenting skills, your goodness, or your badness. And until we grasp and understand the truth of God's word, we will be bound with shame, guilt, and torment. 2 Corinthians 3:17, Paul says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Be free, mom and dad. Be free. Some of you, 5, 10, 25 years later, you are still blaming yourself, trapped in shame and torment. And when you allow shame and guilt to torment us, it doesn't just weigh us down. It can actually create distance and damage to the relationship that we long to have with our son or daughter. Remember the verse that we talked about 2 weeks ago, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It says this, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." Guilt-free parenting. Right? Guilt-free parenting. God doesn't take responsibility for the choices of that your child has made, nor blames you, and neither should you. The blame game stops today, is my prayer. You are a good mom. You are a good dad. No, you're not perfect. Neither am I. None of us are perfect. But you are a good mom and you are a good dad. And somehow we as parents get deceived into thinking that their choices are about who we are. If they do bad, then we must be bad parents. But a healthy parent admits and accepts that ultimately they are powerless to determine the outcome of their child's life. And now I'm not talking about small children. Now you got to hear me, okay? I recognize that small children, you have 100% control of those kids. At least I hope you do, right? This is more as the kids get older and they start exercising this free gift that God give them called free will, and they start exploring that. That's where we start entering into this conversation. You picking up what I'm throwing down? Okay? You're not going to let your kid that's 2 years old go run into a fire pit. They got free will. That's different. I'm talking about 10, 12 years older and up type of things, right? Preteens and teenagers. And yes, while you can still guide them and set boundaries and make decisions for them in some areas, the truth is by this stage in life, their free will is fully active. And they are really exploring the fullness of free will. And those ages can vary, you know, I get it. And they may not be legal adults yet, but they are beginning to think, choose, and act like, with a growing sense of independence. And you can influence their path, but you cannot control every step that they take. That's the tension of parenting, right? Especially teenagers. So our role shifts. And I had this lady, wise lady, years ago, tell me this. And I was really active in constant security and things like that. So she was talking in terms that I was. But she's like, at some point in your kid's life, they will fire you as their manager. And if you've done it well enough, they will hire you as their consultant. There comes a point where you're going to be fired. But if you've laid down the foundation and you have built the right relationship with your children, they will hire you back as a consultant in their life. And that is a tremendous honor. Right? So our roles shift from controlling everything to coaching and guiding with wisdom, love, and trust. We still love, we still hurt, and we still pray. It's like this, okay, think about this. We can teach them to drive a car, right? We can teach them to drive, but the moment that they leave your street, they have the power to do what they please, right? We have no more power to determine the outcome of their life any more than we have power once they leave our street in a vehicle, unless they crash it and then we ground them from the vehicle. But that's a consequence. But here's the deal. We must stop owning their decisions and mistakes. We cannot own their mistakes any more than we have the right to own their victories. When your kid hits a home run in baseball, you don't stand up and say, "Whoa, that was me. I taught them to do that. That was me. I did that." Aren't you happy that they scored the winning run? It's absurd. If you do that, shame on you. It's the same, right? We have no right to own their victories any more than we have the right to own their mistakes. Admitting that we are powerless is a huge thing. And it doesn't sound like, it sounds like a downer. But it's like, at the grand scheme of things, we don't get to determine their life. We don't. We got to stop trying to be God and let God be God. Why is this important? Because it brings freedom. But I feel like it's my fault, Pastor. I didn't do this and didn't do that. If only their father were more engaged. If I hadn't worked so much and whatever, go on and on and on. But watch this. You might feel responsible for them, but the fact is that your child has free will and is responsible for their own choices. Let it sink in. You might feel shame. You might feel guilt. But feelings are not facts. They're feelings. And they're not truth. I might feel tall, but I'm 5'10 and I'm standing on a stage. I might feel like I could run a marathon, but the truth is I get winded walking up 2 flights of stairs. You see the difference? Feelings lie. The truth is the truth. And the Word of God is truth. The choices and decisions are not about you, mom and dad. They may want you to feel like they're about you and that it's your fault and it is all about you. So they don't have to take responsibility of it. There is that side too. But that isn't the truth. You ready for some hope now? Here's the hope. At any time, your child can also choose of their own free will to turn back and come home to the Father. That's the hope. And once we realize that we're not the problem, it also removes the burden of us being the solution. Come on, that's good preaching. We all have felt like if I say or do the right thing, then they'll come home, right? But we see the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And if you haven't read it, go home and read it. Go home and read it even if you have read it. But here's the thing that you'll notice in that story, that the father was not involved in his son's turnaround. Read it. Don't disbelieve me. Read it. Was not involved. And as you read through this, the parents were not a part of any of that. The father didn't send a servant out to find him or check on him. You don't see anywhere in Scripture the passage that says the father did anything. He didn't write a note of encouragement and stick it in the mail. He didn't send money. Never coerced somebody over in the town that he was in that he knew to try to check on his child or help his child. Never one part of the turnaround story. When we try to be the rescuer, we often end up pushing them further away. And here's what we need to recognize. Their free will got them into the mess, and it'll be their free will that brings them out of the mess. We can pray, and we should be praying for our kids. We can love, but we cannot override their choices. We can't. Only God can change a heart. That's it. Our job is to trust him and let go and let him go do what only he can do. So let me wrap this up with the last big idea this morning. Free will eradicates the possibility of cause and effect. What do I mean by that? Everybody understand what understand cause and effect? Let me give you a, if I save money, I build wealth, right? If I go to school, I gain knowledge. If I exercise, I lose weight. Those kinds of things, cause and effect, right? But here's where it gets tricky, especially for us as parents, because there's this big myth that if I'm a good parent, I'll raise good kids that will become good adults. Okay, that's cause and effect. You follow me? If you are, say uh-huh. All right? And it sounds logical. It even sounds fair. But there's one massive variable that breaks this equation. And it's again, and say it with me, free will. Free will breaks the equation of cause and effect. The challenges, this whole concept that I've presented challenges what we have grown to learn and understand about our role as parents, right? It has me. We have believed this for a long time. Many of us, at least. But here's the thing. If that myth falls apart, we start asking hard questions like, let me ask this one. Was God a good parent? Yeah. Okay. Is there any other parent better than him? Say it like you mean it. No. Right? We all agree? Okay. And yet, his kids disobeyed. Let that rock you in for a second, right? They rebelled, they ran. Does that mean that God didn't have enough faith in his children? Nope, it doesn't. So don't let anyone put a guilt trip on you by saying you just don't have enough faith in your kids. And there's people that in this room right now that I know for a fact have had people speak that over them. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And the truth is, if I'm a good parent and I lay a strong foundation, a biblical, godly foundation, that foundation gives my child the opportunity to build something lasting. But they still have the choice of how they build. We influence, we invest, but we don't control. And hear me, that's not failure. Grab a hold of it. That's not failure. That's the risk and reality of love. Because here's the clincher. God never stopped loving his kids. He loved them enough to let them. He loved them enough not to intervene. And he loves them enough to welcome them back with open arms. Love, not control, is how we win a heart. Because real love always gives the freedom to choose. That's the whole thing of free will, right? If God created us to be robots and said, you will love me, that's not true love. That's not real love. God gave us the free will to choose, for us to choose whether we will love him or not. Now, if you don't love and don't accept his love, you might need your brain checked. My opinion. But it's still your choice and my choice to love. Every day I wake up, I choose to love my spouse. She doesn't make me, and I don't make her. I choose to love my children. I choose to love you. Different kinds of love, but I still get to choose, just like you do. We choose. That's the kind of love that God shows us. The ultimate expression of love is the freedom to choose who you love with your free will. Romans 8:1-2. So there is no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That means there's hope right now. Parents, no matter how far your son or daughter has gone, no matter how heavy the burden is that you feel today, here's what I want you to remember. First, I want you to know I deeply feel I'm sorry that you have to walk through that. Your pain is real and it matters. Whether you're in the middle of it with your child right now or if you've watched them wander off the path, don't lose heart. Hold on to hope. Today could be the turning point in your child's life that you've been praying so desperately for. Don't be shaken by what you see or disheartened by what they say. God is still working, even in the silence. And if you are the prodigal, hear this. God is not angry with you. He's not distant from you. And he's not even disappointed in you. He loves you. He's waiting with open arms to love you, receive you, and welcome you home. Parents, the guilt trip stops today. Stand with me. Let me pray for us. Oh, Jesus, we come before you, Heavenly Father, now, grateful for your unfailing love and grace. Thank you that your love never gives up, never stops, and never lets go. Even when we or our children stray, you remain faithful, waiting with open arms to welcome us back. Lord, I lift every parent and every child here today up to you. And I ask for your peace to fill the hearts burdened with guilt, shame, and fear. Give them peace. Remind us that your love sets us free and that there is no condemnation for those who belong to you. Give us the strength to hold on to hope, especially when the road feels long and uncertain. Help us to trust your timing, your perfect plan, knowing that you are working even in the unseen moments. For those who feel lost, alone or far away, God, meet them right where they are. Let them feel your presence right now. Let them feel your forgiveness and your overwhelming love. Bring healing. Bring restoration and new beginnings. May your spirit guide us all to walk in faith, wisdom, and grace. Help us to love with the freedom that you've given us and to lean on you as we navigate the journey ahead. And help us to place the parent guilt at your feet and never pick it back up again, Lord. Thank you for your amazing example. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Let's see.